with you this evening. If you would have open before you that passage that Sukash read for us earlier, Ephesians chapter 3, that's what we'll be looking at this evening. But first of all, I want to describe to you a very interesting week that we had not so long ago at our church in Weston-super-Mare on the Bourneville Estate at Bethesda. We were sat in the hall having our prayer meeting on a Thursday evening when we started to hear noises coming from the lobby area outside the front door of the church. We have this little lobby. And it was clear things were being thrown into the lobby against the door of the church and the walls of the church. So someone went out to look. It was a group of young people who live near the church. They often congregate opposite the church, at a house opposite the church. They were pelting the front of the church, the inside of the lobby of the church, with eggs. So bad was it afterwards, after much cleaning and scrubbing, we eventually decided that we had to have it redecorated because we couldn't get rid of the smell that was there. So that was on the Thursday evening. On the Sunday following, after the service, as I was coming out at the end, when most people had gone home, in fact, I think everybody had gone home, I was coming out to lock up the church, there was this woman who came up to me and another woman with her. The first woman, she had a buggy with a little child in there, and she wanted help. And she wanted me to come with her to where she was living. She was living with a man in a block of flats, which is mostly for elderly people. And she wanted me to come to that block of flats and enable her to remove her stuff that she had in there from this man who she said was abusive to her and take her to a place of refuge. So I took her, I went with her to this flat. Well, actually, no, I'm forgetting the details of it. I had David and Rain there with me. That's right, I had Mr. and Mrs. Farley there with me. I had to take them home first. And then I had to come back again. That's right. And so I came back to this place, this block of flats, where I said I'd meet her. And this other woman was outside in a terrible state. So we rang the bell to get hold of this thing. This man who was abusive and threatened with a knife, me and this other woman, wouldn't let her come down, or she wasn't coming down, and so there was nothing more we could do there, really. We had to leave that. The woman wasn't coming. She'd gone up and she'd gone back into this situation. The following night, the Monday night, when we have our Bible study, this woman turned up again. She was obviously all right. She had the other woman with her as well, and another woman who was, I don't know, either completely blind drunk or on something. She'd had taken some drugs of some kind. And she was yelling. She was making a great fuss. She was saying, "What about this poor woman and what had happened to her and what are you going to do about it?" And it was a great scene. And there was nothing that could be done. I'd not been told the truth about the situation that was going on. It was obviously not what I was first told about it. The fact that she had a place to go to as a refuge, I wasn't there. That wasn't true either. There were all sorts of things wrong with it. So this is a situation. Now, I don't know whether you have experiences like that here in Clevedon, but we get experiences like that where we are on the Bourneville. And it tells us, as many other things tell us, it tells us about the darkness and the depravity and the effects of sin on people's lives that is going on all around us all the time and occasionally impinges on us. like that, like it did that evening. And if that darkness and that depravity surrounding us doesn't express itself in that way here, in your church, in the things that you experience, make no mistake, it is all around you. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says later on in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He says to them, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." There's this darkness. There's these shameful things that are going on behind closed doors all around us. You can be sure that that is the case. And we believe, don't we? We believe that God has placed us here to shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the gospel, into this darkness. And we can't do it. We can't shine the light into this darkness by having nothing to do with the people who are in that darkness, who are living in that depravity. We can't do it by having nothing to do with such people. The secret works of darkness that the Apostle Paul speaks of, those unfruitful works of darkness done in the secret places, you can't shine the light on them. Well, they can't be exposed unless you do shine the light on them. And the Apostle Paul tells us who that light is, what that light is, in chapter 5 and verse 8 in Ephesians. He says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You and I, we are the light that is to shine into this darkness that surrounds us. But here's the thing, you see, when confronted with this kind of thing that I've described to you, and other kinds of things perhaps as well, these shameful things, we may be fearful. We may be fearful of interacting with a group of youths like it was, who obviously had evil intent in what they were doing. We may be intimidated. We may be repulsed by the kind of behavior that we come across and that we see. We may be filled with anger. You know, sometimes when we're being abused like that, I find it very difficult not to, that the anger comes up and it wells in you. Why should they be doing that? How dare they be doing that? How dare they treat us like this? That anger wells up. Sometimes the very nature of the shameful things that are being done, that we witness, may so affect us that we can't see through them. We can't see through the shameful things to the people. The people made in God's image, whose image is so marred beyond almost recognition in the things that they are engaged in. We can't even see that they are those that God has made for his glory. Those, like Sukesh has been telling us, whom God loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So sometimes it's really difficult. It's really difficult for us. I don't know whether you experience this. What should we do? It's a dilemma that we have when we are faced with what's going on around us. And perhaps our most natural reaction is just simply to stay within our holy huddle and within our shell and not really to engage. That is the strong thing that's working in us. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul, he was faced with the same dilemma that he brings across to us through this chapter 3 that we're particularly focusing on this evening. You see what he says at the beginning of chapter 3 there: "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, for the sake of you Gentiles, I am a prisoner," he is saying to them. And he repeats it in verse 13, the last verse that we read, to them. "So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." The Apostle Paul is in prison and he is suffering for the sake of who? For the sake of these Gentiles, these Ephesian believers whom he is writing to. Right at the beginning of this journey of the Apostle Paul that brings him eventually into this jail room in Rome, right at the beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus, said to him, "I will send you far away to the Gentiles." The Lord spoke to him of his mission. "These Ephesians, far away, Gentiles, I am going to send you to them." And perhaps reading this chapter, it's easy for us to overlook and not take into account what that must have been like for the Apostle Paul. "I am sending you far away to the Gentiles." You know, when he was arrested in Jerusalem, before eventually he was being taken to Rome to the jail there, the reason that the riot erupted and that he was actually having to be taken into custody was when he was telling the story of how he came to Christ and of that vision that he had of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was when he got to the point where he said this: "I will send you far away to the Gentiles." And the people, the Jews, they were up in arms. That was when they got so angry that they were about to kill him. "I will send you to the Gentiles." That was incensing to the Jews that he should say that God was sending him to the Gentiles to bless them. Paul was a Jew, offering, as he says here, the unsearchable riches of God to the Gentiles. That didn't come naturally to a Jew like Paul. That was not easy. And we may ask, well, what was wrong with the Gentiles? Well, there was much in a Jew's mind that was wrong with the Gentiles, that he wouldn't want to go to them with the riches of God. They were uncircumcised. They were not under the law of God. They did not take into account the law of God. They didn't think the law of God applied to them. They weren't concerned about God or his laws. They were ignorant. You can read these things in various places where it's described, where the Apostle Paul describes it, of what the people he writes to once were. They were idolaters. They bowed down to images of all sorts of things. They were drunkards. They were sexually promiscuous. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, Peter says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime," and he's writing to Gentiles, "in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." That was the life of the Gentile. That was what the Gentile was doing. Those were the shameful acts. The Ephesians that he was writing to here, they practiced witchcraft in great numbers. And we read in the Acts of the Apostles of how, having been converted, they brought their books of witchcraft out and made a pile of them and burned them. So in all of these things, the Ephesians, the Gentiles, as described, were much like the people that I've described to you, that we come across on the Bourneville all the time, and that are here surrounding you in Clevedon. Much like that. And why should any Jew, and why should especially a Jew like the Apostle Paul, go out of his way to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ to such Gentiles? He was, as he describes himself in Philippians, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. He would have been brought up to hate the Gentiles as much as any Jew could hate the Gentiles. That was the background of the Apostle Paul. And when the Lord Jesus said, "I am sending you far away to the Gentiles," we can but imagine what was going through his mind, what that meant to him, the outrage that it must have been to him to hear such a thing, the horror that gripped him. Why should a man such as Paul put up with beatings, stonings, hate speech, and even imprisonment, so that the Gentiles might be made rich with the glories of God's mercy and grace? Why should he do that? That's the dilemma. Why should people like us put up with verbal abuse, with being lied to all the time? And you know, that's what we find, isn't it? Where we are lied to all the time. We are made use of, taken for fools, as well as being pelted with eggs. Why should we do that? Why should we put up with that? So that the people of the Bourneville or the people of Clevedon might be made rich with the abundance of God's mercy and grace. Well, the Apostle Paul, he has unfolded it, hasn't he? Back in chapter 2. If I'd had the reading of chapter 2 as well, it would have been too long a reading. So I'm going to read some verses from chapter 2 for you now, from verse 11. He says, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." And I'll stop there. But so it's through the cross. Through the cross. That's the thing. That's what's made the difference for the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ has broken down the partition, the wall that separated Jew and Gentile. With his own blood, Jesus has, as it were, signed the armistice to end the hostilities between Jew and Gentile. And by his Spirit, Jesus has brought Jew and Gentile together into one body of the church. Something had been revealed to the Apostle Paul, he tells us in chapter 3, that was a mystery for long ages. And what was that mystery? He tells us that it's the Gentiles should become fellow citizens with the Jews in the kingdom of God. That the Gentiles might become fellow heirs of the promises along with the Jews. It was a mystery that the Apostle Paul had almost no chance of getting hold of until it had been revealed to him in Christ. That God was determined that he was going to pour out his grace and his mercy and the wonderful results of the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself on the cross, dying for them, the Gentiles, that they might be saved and brought to be part of God's people, fellow heirs. No different in blessing, in honor, than the Jews themselves brought together. It was a mystery. God had revealed it to Peter, but Peter wasn't the one who was going to follow it through. That was the Apostle Paul. He was the one who was going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. It was the Apostle Paul who saw that the Gentiles didn't need to be circumcised, didn't need to obey the law. That it was not, as he says here, a stewardship of God's law that he was going to take, but a stewardship of God's grace that he was going to take to the Gentiles. He wasn't going to tell them to become Jews. He was going to tell them, God is going to accept you as you are. God is going to receive you as you are. And it is so wonderful that he is able to bring this dispensation, as it is in another translation that we normally use, a dispensation of grace. And I like that phrase because that's what it is, dispensing grace in the gospel to those who did not deserve it. And he was arrested in Jerusalem because of Ephesian Gentiles who had been seen with him in Jerusalem, and they thought that he'd taken them into the temple. He hadn't, but it was because of them. And the Apostle Paul, you see, this chapter 3 is the Apostle Paul explaining to the Ephesians how gloriously wonderful it was that he was able to bring the gospel to them, even to suffer imprisonment for them. They might have thought to themselves, well, it's terrible that it should be our fault that the Apostle Paul has ended up in prison. So I ask you, he says, not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. No, you shouldn't be sad about this fact that I am in prison for you because I brought the gospel to you. No, you shouldn't be sad about it. It is your glory. It is the amazing grace of God. And I am glad for it, says the Apostle Paul, locked up in prison for these Gentiles. He's explaining and this is the wonderful thing to me about this chapter. The Apostle Paul is explaining to them what it means to him. What it means to him that he is able to bring to them the glorious riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he might have the privilege of declaring to them that Jesus died for them. That's what he's doing. He's taking a digression here in chapter 3 because he says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. And then he explains why that's so wonderful to him. And then in verse 14, he takes up what he was going to say, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. He just wants them to know that no, he is not thinking to himself as he's there, chained up in the prison. Look what these Gentiles have caused me. What kind of trouble they've got me into. He wants them to know that's not what he's thinking. That's not what he's feeling. He's not feeling, oh, why did I bother to go to these people that have landed me up in this place, in prison. He doesn't say in this passage, to me, a Jew and a leading Pharisee was given this ministry to the Gentiles so that they might know how unworthy they are of being included with the Jews. He doesn't say that, does he? No, he says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. That's what he says. What a privilege, he says. What amazing grace of God to choose me to bring this gospel of grace to the Gentiles, to you. He says, there's no one so unworthy of this ministry as me. Yet Jesus passed everyone else by and gave the ministry to me. That's what he says to them. Paul, is he in prison for the sake of the Gentiles, with his head in his hands, bemoaning his lot, cursing the day that he was given the job on that road to Damascus when Jesus said, I'm sending you far away to the Gentiles? Was he like that in prison? No. He wasn't like that in prison, not even if they flogged him every day. He was overjoyed. He was filled with the sense of the privilege that God chose him to fulfill his promise of long ages past, to bring the Gentiles into the fold of his grace in Jesus Christ, to make them fellow heirs alongside the Jews. In our mind's eye, we can see the Apostle Paul get down on his knees in his cell and lift up his hands against the weight of the chains and cry out, oh God, you chose me. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, O Lord, that you chose me. Bless those Gentiles. Pour out your grace on those Gentiles. Make them to know just how great and deep your love is for them. And that's why he goes on to pray for them. Make them know just how great and deep your love is for them. What had changed the Apostle Paul from a Jew, from a Gentile-hating Jew, into one who was willing to suffer all manner of terrible things on their behalf? What did that to him in his heart? He tells us, doesn't he, in a sense, when he says, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. Because God had revealed to him that even as a Jew with all his privileges, there was nothing to commend him. He came to realize he was a blasphemer and a violent aggressor. He came to realize that he, as one who had persecuted the church, well, he was the least of all the saints. He was the chief of all the sinners. And God had revealed that to him at the cross. God had shown him that he, more than all the Gentiles in the world, needed the blood of Christ to make him clean. That he deserved less than anyone else this amazing grace of God to receive such a one as himself. And the Gentiles, in their idolatry, in all their shameful acts that they were involved in their witchcraft, in their deceit, and in all the things the Jew Paul would have found absolutely abominable to him, he placed himself lower than the lowest of them. To me, this grace was given. And so that's what's going to transform us as well. Dear brothers and sisters here at Copse Road, do you see your ministry to the people who are around us here like the Apostle Paul saw his ministry to the Gentiles? Do you see the privilege that he has given you by placing you here as the light to shine into their darkness? Do you see, are you filled with joy at the prospect that this is how God has chosen to bless you in placing you here, in giving you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? May God forgive the hardness of our hearts. May he forgive the hardness of my heart, because my heart is so often hard towards those that God has sent me to bring the gospel to. May God forgive us the hardness of our hearts. May the Lord open our eyes to see the great honor he has bestowed on us, that he should choose us as his instruments to reach the people of Clevedon or Bourneville. May we say with the Apostle Paul, to us who are less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. May he so help us.